This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick.
I'm Madeline Brand. For China, the Olympics isn't just an opportunity to show off its athletic prowess. It's an opportunity to finally shake off its status as less than equal on the world stage.
China is still living with what it sees as humiliating defeats it suffered at the hands of the British and the Americans and the Japanese beginning about 150 years ago.
Orville Schell is director of the Asia Society Center on U.S.-China Relations. He's written extensively about China, and he examined the impact of humiliation in China in an article he wrote for the latest New York Review of Books. And Orville Schell is here now. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Well, now, one thing that jumped out at me when I read your article was this notion that there is actually a National Humiliation Day in China. What is that, and why do they have it?
Well, it's interesting. China has been through something of a rough patch over the last century and a half, when the technologically superior West arrived with its gunboats and sort of nibbled away at China's edges, and Japan occupied it, and China was pretty much defenseless to defend itself. So that was humiliation enough. Then the Chinese Communist Party sort of latched onto that. It got to be something of a badge of honor to be quite oppressed by these foreign powers, to be victimized, in a certain sense, also to be humiliated. So the party took this theme, as did many earlier intellectuals, and it became a very sort of deeply ingrained part of China's identity.
So kind of reveling in being the underdog and also using that status as a way to propel the people to do better, to achieve.
Yes, it was a way, I think, to prove that the First World had been beating up on them and had unjustly occupied them, which they had, and that China had suffered. And now it was China's turn to, in effect, rebel through world revolution.
So this idea of the Chinese being acutely aware of their humiliation at the hands of Western powers historically, how does it fuel their behavior today? And how does it fuel their presentation of the Olympics?
Well, I think the Olympics, they perceived the Olympics as that moment when they could sort of rebrand themselves, when they could become, figuratively speaking, complete the passage from victim to victor. And what made the whole Tibetan demonstrations so painful and so incredibly disruptive and evoked such enormous amounts of anger and indignation in China was that it threatened to intrude on this very carefully written script to which China had spent huge amounts of money and time. And here it was on the very precipice of that long-awaited moment, and then it seemed to be snatched away from them.
Of course, every nation wants to win as many golds as possible at these Olympics, but would you argue that in China it is especially important, not only because China is the host country, but because of this idea of vanquishing this national humiliation identity?
I don't think there's a country of consequence, another country in the world, that cares as much, even as it pretends it doesn't care, about how the outside, and particularly the developed world, sees it. You saw at the opening ceremony of the Olympics, it was completely over the top. No other country could have, would have come close to that. So that says something. That says that China really wanted the kind of respect that only that sort of extraordinarily well-planned and completely dazzling ceremony could evoke. This was a symbolic moment of all symbolic moments where they would win back the respect, the adoration, and the acclaim of the world.
Well, once these Olympics are over and everyone goes home and China is no longer on everyone's television sets in prime time, what happens if these expectations aren't met?
There's a big challenge still here in China's future if it wants to become a truly great power, and that is to gain this kind of moral authority, which, because of its human rights policies, because of its Leninist structures, because of its sort of no-fault involvement in the world, Darfur, Burma, Zimbabwe, it doesn't have that kind of a luster to it. And I might add, this is really the same challenge the U.S. confronts, is refinding its moral power, its soft power in the world.
Orville Schell, director of the Asia Society Center on U.S.-China Relations. His article, China, Humiliation and the Olympics, is in the current issue of the New York Review of Books. Orville Schell, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.